Hello, everyone, and welcome to JeffG Tonight for a chill show because I spent the day preparing for my race debate, race realism debate against American Black. This will be at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be an Odyssey exclusive. I don't expect to make any new argument, but it's been a while since I have debated this subject, so I wanted to review the literature, review my definitions, and I think we'll have a good debate tonight. The guy is pretty annoying. He's been trying to frame me as a white supremacist and everything on Twitter, and he's like proudly blocked on Twitter by racists. And oh my god, it's annoying. Like, can we have a discussion about the facts without you attacking me, without you trying to frame me? And anyways, it's like I'll never be able to positively acknowledge if I'm racist. I couldn't say it if I was racist because it would be illegal in Canada. So it's like, why don't we have a discussion on the science, on the genes, on the questions of clustering? And that would be an interesting discussion. But this guy is totally out there into throwing ad hominems at me. Pretty annoying already. So I guess he's going to be just as annoying during the debate. But I think I'll surprise him on certain angles that I know he's going to take because we've already had a conversation. So I hope to catch him on a couple of things I've thought about today on his own definitions. But I will not reveal my angles of attack here because I want to surprise him with some stuff. Because these guys, they come at you and they start saying, like, scientists don't use race, they use Klein. And we'll see just how deep he's willing to go with this kind of fallacy. But I'll be there to test him. Gusparovsky says, why JF is not on Spotify? Bro, I don't know about Spotify. I would suspect that they probably have a super censorship criteria. And I have walked away from YouTube, from a lot of money that I could have been making at YouTube, because I was just tired of the censorship. So I'm not going to expose myself to a platform before I can fully be certain that they are respectful of the cognitive freedom of their creators. At this point, I care more about my comfort than I care about making lots of money or having lots of big audiences. At this point, I have experienced the freedom of thought that we have at Odyssey, and that's my standard. I won't go below this. If you can't reach the Odyssey level of freedom of creation, you're not even in the game as far as I'm concerned. Go Away says, Spotify censorship is much less than YouTube. Nothing to lose by uploading there. Well, you do have something to lose. You always lose when you produce content for a platform without being sure that the audience that you build there can be yours. And so people aren't annoyed in terms of functionality because I offer the MP3s on my own server. That is so old school freedom of the internet. I don't think it's worth it for me to upload on Spotify and take the risk of building an account there for years, for a year, for maybe many years, and eventually losing it. A Crazy Catman says, jailbreakchat.com has a bunch of ChatGPT unlocked text blocks to use. Okay, as I've said before, I'm not a fan of just the pure jailbreaking of ChatGPT. And so I don't care what happens in this field. Whatever you jailbreak, they're going to patch it with some response to it. So it's a race that is not worth pursuing. I'm interested in discussions with ChatGPT to determine the level of intelligence, the level of linguistic capacities of this AI. I am not interested in the latest jailbreak news. I'm not. Look, I invented a new trick to get it to say something. It's like, yeah, well, fuck off, please. Fuck off from my life. Bad news today on Twitter. Bad news, a series of events that have started with the unbanning of a bunch of our English friends, including Mark Collette, the Patriotic Alternative Group, Laura. Is it Laura Towler? Laura something that they're friends with. And then there was some bad coverage of this on The Guardian. And then there was, as Morgoth has pointed out, we've reached peak Guardian headline. Miserable middle-aged woman, far-right fear story, Elon Muskler fear story, call for censorship, and complete indifference to opinion of common folk. That is a title at The Guardian that was scoring on many checkboxes. Elon Musk has put every lost young man on Twitter in the crosshairs of the far right. Like, you almost feel in 2016 again when you read this this article. But unfortunately, and I can't believe we're there. So they start talking about this in the UK Parliament. And this ended up with Elon Musk's Twitter banning Patriotic Alternative, Laura Towler, Sam. Apparently, he's still there, but they said, I don't know. And Mark Collette. Account suspended. And Active Patriot UK banned a day later on YouTube. That is super sad, because I thought that these unbannings were serious on the side of Elon Musk, but unfortunately we seem to be headed toward, if the government starts threatening, starts just talking about maybe that we'll have laws about this, or maybe we'll go after Twitter. Twitter just acts like a coward and just preemptively ban these people. That is extremely annoying, extremely bad news for the question of free speech on Twitter. And it shows that, as I had predicted, the ultimate game is between Elon Musk's technological advancements and European law. So if Elon Musk doesn't develop a decentralized way to host our tweets, eventually Europe will get what it wants, because Elon Musk, they hold him by the balls. If Elon Musk starts doing too many things with Twitter that they don't like, they can legislate against him, they can seize his wealth, they can sue him in civil court for spreading hate. And as long as Elon Musk is the one holding this company in his hands and holding the central servers to it, is going to be subject to extortion by the legal system of Europe and, of course, UK. End of the line, Joel says, EU will also determine North American policy too. Exactly. So when you have the EU pressuring Elon Musk like this, you end up having, eventually, the free speech of America will be determined indirectly, simply because Twitter will adjust its laws, and there's always a little bit of dilution. It's not like you can have a specific Twitter rule for France and then a specific Twitter rule for US. Eventually, there's a culture that gets moved away towards censorship or away from censorship. So as I said at the beginning of this whole adventure, Elon must develop decentralized Twitter. Elon must develop a better thing than the federation of whatever, the Fediverse. The Fediverse is not enough. We need a Twitter made by Elon that is decentralized. I need to be able to start a Twitter account, not by asking the central server of Elon, but by generating my private keys and just hosting it on my independent server if I want to. End of the line, Joel says, never go full Mastodon. There's definitely the danger of going full Mastodon and becoming basically uninteresting. But I think that if Elon owns Twitter and does this, I think he could maintain Twitter as the go-to place while decentralizing it. Cloud Warmer says, JF, is this a case of meet the new boss, same as the old boss? That is, anyways, it's never been about the boss, you know? Twitter censorship is a complex relationship between regulators, lawmakers, threats of possible laws, and executive power within the Twitter organization, and relationships with intelligence community, all this crap. So this thing, Elon may have failed at totally undermining it. He may have chopped the heads of the most egregious violators of free speech by firing a lot of people. But the culture is still there, and the triangle of interest between the user, the government, and the private corporation is still intact. So if you don't solve this problem, and this problem, we know how to solve it. It's decentralized hosting. This is where Elon is going to have to go. And I encourage him. I would be even willing to help him. If you want to name me CEO of decentralized Twitter, Elon, I'll make it happen. I don't care. But we need that. We need Twitter to be as solid as Bitcoin, period. Micronova sends a super chat. He says, you can't stop the signal. Interesting thought. Which kind of signal are you talking about? Are you talking about the moral signal? The Twitter signal? Are you talking about those people who just got banned, like our friend Mark Collette? In a way, I would agree in all those interpretations. We're just talking about political fluff around signals that will pass no matter what. And if it means going back to Gab, if it means rebuilding elsewhere on the internet, we know that people like Mark Collette can survive on the internet even if you throw everything at them. So in a way, what is being thrown at them right now is different than what was thrown at them 4 years ago. Nothing Like the Sun says the banning is the signal. Oh yeah, I mean, banning is also a signal. It's a way to display, oh, we care a lot, you know. Oh, we don't want trouble in Europe. It's also a way, unfortunately, where Elon Musk is ending up giving power to the threat to people who are willing to use the threat of state power against free speech. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, when it comes to politics, do you agree with this adage, aesthetics trumps optics? It's like I don't even operate in any of these domains. I am neither in aesthetics nor in optics. I think that those two dimensions of politics are roots of They are the roots of giving too much power to the media and giving too much power to the left. So I wouldn't say that any of these two dimensions matters to me. I know that there are people who are fully in the aesthetic mythological world, you know, and they live out there in this pagan universe of symbolism and stuff. I'm not there. I am a man of facts, science, and politics from a realistic, pragmatic perspective. That's the furthest you get me into the abstract domain. If you talk to me about optics, you're talking about playing a game that is controlled by whoever controls the optics, which is not you and it's not me. And aesthetics, same thing. You're talking about giving power to a bunch of graphic designers in San Francisco. No, I don't care about this stuff. So none of these matters. Now, I want to talk about Scott Adams. So people were pressing me a lot, and I know that Spider Silver was insisting that I talk about it. I cannot show you the video because it's way too based. It's way too based. Like Scott Adams was apparently somewhat pro-vaccine at some point in the past. Within a month, he has both apologized for being pro-vaccine, then took an anti-vax position, but walked back some. This guy annoys me. So that's why this guy is like so out there and so unstable. I don't see him as a man of principle very much, and he's very annoying in the way he expresses all these changes of heart that he has. Like if you have that major of a change of heart that one month ago you would root for the vaccine and now you're a super base, the protector of the white person, listen, you're confusing. But if you want to take it as kind of a troll, it might be some kind of genius troll that's happening. Because he's been, basically, his most recent statement on YouTube, and I can't believe, I think they might take it off YouTube, okay? I think this might not survive on YouTube eventually. His statement is, look, he identified as black at some point in his life. He's not black, he's definitely white, but he felt part of the black team, you know? And, you know, this exists within the white liberal population. It's we have created such a sanctified black person, you know, a desirable state of affair that some white liberals want it so much that they want to identify as black. And apparently that's what he reports. He was on Team Black, at least. And then he saw a survey, which I knew about for years. Of course, it's a recent survey, but this survey exposes nothing new. This survey was revealing that black people, on average, as self-reported, are a little more racist than white people. And that is not a discovery. We've been reporting this years and years ago, and it's always been known. And it's always been known that among all of the races, basically, white people are the least racist. And they are the most self-hating on top of it. So if they are racist, it's often against themselves. The Asians are more racist. The blacks are more racist on average. So this is something I knew, but somehow Scott Adams, you know how Scott Adams, you know, takes a lot of time before he gets impacted by reality. Somehow it hits Scott Adams a couple of days ago. And then he realized that, hey, since I've been on Team Black for so long, I've... and this is where, is he trolling or is that real? I think there may be some kind of comedy in what he says. But he says, I realized that by joining Team Black, I have joined a hate group. And, you know, it depends on how you want to frame it, how you want to see it. But it's kind of funny as a joke to say, well, I've joined the team, and the team turned out to be racist, more racist on average than other groups. So I think it's great that he realizes these things, and I think that bringing it in a comedic fashion like this is probably going to open some eyes to the extent that there may be some people who watch Scott Adams who didn't know about this. who didn't know that white people are among the least racist groups out there, and that when they're racist against themselves. So I think it's funny, and of course he went very far then in taking his, he talked about Don Lemon and how Don Lemon basically goes into neighborhoods and lives into neighborhoods that have a high quality of life. And he was I don't know, he was overlapping between saying, I'm just quoting Don Lemon here, but also telling his crowd that he does this too. You know, he chooses his neighborhoods to have a high quality of life, a low crime rate. And so it's a very interesting awakening, if it's an awakening at all, or if it's trolling and if he's being comical here. It's good comedy, because this is something that the regular normie will not have digested yet. So overall, it's great. I think that it may not survive the YouTube censors, because the jokes, it depends. If you approach them as jokes, okay, it might pass. But if you approach them as potentially first-degree statements that he was doing, perhaps some of them will violate the YouTube TOS. I don't know. I won't play it here because I don't want to take the risk. T.S. Apostolos says it comes down to who puts... okay, thank you for your message. All right, so Kevin O'Leary... wants crypto regulation. He is frustrated. He wants to go after the field in which he has lost money. And he was saying, we're going to keep seeing these crypto exchanges going to zero until we actually force regulation on these guys. It's not so easy to regulate crypto, you know? Not so easy. Because you can... You could have proofs of reserves, but all of it could also be taken like that if your keys are not properly kept. So it's like, oh yeah, you can prove that you have 10,000 Bitcoin, but the next second you may not have 10,000 Bitcoin. So I don't see what regulation can come here to do. I think it's a problem. So I said to Kevin O'Leary, take the L, Kevin. Stop annoying the whole market just because you trusted the wrong man. Some trustable exchanges are good to do transactions and then store in a cold wallet. You just need to learn to do it. There's no amount of money that will take you around this one. And this is... This is what I realized. I was helping someone buy bitcoins today, and I realized this magic moment of recording the seed words. That is quite a unique moment, and there is no way, even if you're a billionaire, you're gonna have to do the same thing as Papa JF and write them down or punch them down on a steel plate. Because if Kevin O'Leary was to pay someone to keep his Bitcoin, that someone could run away with the Bitcoins. So even if you have a super loyal employee, that employee will be constantly put in front of the possibility, hey, do I run away with the Bitcoin or am I loyal to Kevin O'Leary? So the SBF problem isn't solved by even Kevin O'Leary getting his Bitcoins in-house. Kevin O'Leary must be the guy doing it. He must be the one taking a hammer, taking punch letters, and punching his own seed words. There is no way money can buy you out of this obligation. Not your keys, not your coins. If your employee is doing your keys, it's your employee's coins. Go away, says JF. Give me 100 of the most buff chads, and I can regulate these crypto nerds by the end of the week. You want to use chads for the purpose of regulation? How will you use the chads? what is this thing? You need chads to regulate crypto nerds. Oh, you mean you wanna crack down on the crypto nerds by punching them with high muscled males? Okay, I guess. But you're gonna have to find all of us. That's going to be hard. Speaker's Corner says, have you made a PDF guide for cold crypto storage? No, not PDF guide, but you should definitely check out the episode Surviving with Bitcoins. Surviving with Bitcoins, JFG Tonight. I will try to pull the link right away for you so that it's in the show notes. Unfortunately, Odyssey isn't getting super responsive. Oh, there it is. The Ultimate Guide. The Ultimate Guide to Surviving with Bitcoins. This is what Kevin needs to watch, and there is no way around it. You're not going to buy your way around this because any employees will be a potential source of trouble for you. They will potentially steal your wallet. And so The Ultimate Guide to Surviving with Bitcoins, JFG Tonight 707, that is what you need. That is what everyone needs. That is what Kevin O'Leary needs. Micronova says, I also don't like steel wallets because X-ray airport scanners can see the indentations and the images are saved. Very dangerous to have crypto plates in airport X-rays. So you need to shuffle the words in an order only you know. Well, I do more than shuffling words. I encode with extremely complex encoding schemes, the letters. So, people could see my steel wallet and they couldn't guess what it is. I highly suggest a high-level substitution algorithm for your words. That way, even if you lose them or if they are scanned by some kind of scanner, you will not lose your coins. Nothing Like the Sun says, Jeff, you misunderstand, go away. He wants the chads as payment for doing the regulation. The bush... the buff chads will be for his enjoyment. Wow, go away. We are learning stuff about you that we didn't know at all. Whoa. I'm surprised. Personally, I'm surprised. Keith Melvin Moses, what we know about the suspect in the deadly Pine Hills shooting. So apparently this guy shoots an adult woman, 38-year-old. As a consequence of the shooting, a mother and her daughter, 9-year-old, were shot while inside a home. So was it stray bullets? I don't know. But eventually a bunch of journalists are in a car. And it would seem that this guy comes back to the scene and shoots the journalist, and one of the two journalists is dead. What a horrible story. He is not collaborative with the police at this point, and so unfortunately, we don't get to know even what was the whole reason behind this series of shootings. We'll probably know more as the investigators push to understand better what happened. The White House blames Republicans, former Trump officials for toxic chemical spill in Ohio. And I have to grant it to them. They're arguing that there was deregulation. They're arguing the same thing on this woman show.
Lay down regulations for a second. Because it seems to me that the Republicans are obsessed with this notion of the free market, and they don't like a lot of regulations.
Because it means profit. When you deregulate, yeah. You get profit.
But they, I know.
Part of the deregulation is reducing the workers.
There were very few plane crashes. Thank God. And that's because the industry is highly regulated. We have to pay for regulations and safety standards. Otherwise, where are we? We're all going to go up in flames.
Norfolk Southern gives as much to Democrats as Republicans. It's a very powerful lobby that is trying to block regulation. And this train, to Sarah's point, 2 miles long with 2 full-time employees and a trainee on it. This
and
is
they didn't
that
even
could wipe
need
out
to,
an entire,
because the last administration rolled it down to only one
to having
worker.
One.
They happen to have
but
two.
One thing I just want to say is I do think this was an unforced error by President Biden. It was 20 days before we had Secretary Buttigieg go down, 10 days before he put out a statement acknowledging it.
Yeah.
This is Trump country. He won by 40 points. He is a president for all.
Okay, so I think it's a little bit of, you know, dumping responsibility, because ultimately, if you think that the Trump rules were so offensive, you're now the president, so you should be fixing them. But yeah, I mean, they're right to the extent that, yes, it is true that Trump has deregulated a lot. Would safety standards here have helped? I don't know, because who knows what caused this. You know, you can have 5 employees, and yet if the wheels are broken, the wheels are broken. But we've seen some journalists, you know, looking at trains in America, and holy shit, there are some trains that are basically rolling on bumpy tracks that are completely curved. It's amazing. It's amazing that this is advancing still. So yes, there may be a problem of the quality of infrastructure at play here, and perhaps part of it is on the back of Trump and his deregulation era. Go away, says Jeff. Give me 100 of the hottest ETOTs, and I can regulate these train nerds by the end of the week. Go away has totally changed his demands. I thought he wanted some Chads. No, he wants ETOTs now. Well, I do not have 100 ETOTs to my disposal, so I'm going to have to live with a completely unregulated crypto market. I'm fine with it, though. Project Veritas needs a basic course in media communications. You don't update your donor base with half-baked ongoing allegations and investigation points while you haven't clarified for yourself whether or not they are true. It's so shameful, the email that was sent by Project Veritas to their donors and members. We understand and share your frustrations. We all love and respect James and hope he returns. This is difficult for everyone. An independent two-dimensional audit is being arranged to examine all of the issues, including those outlined below. Breaking the bylaws of the organization by unilaterally dismissing the CFO and co-opting another board member's vote by saying that board members supported the dismissal while they did not. Listen, I don't care about all this. It seems that you guys are putting sticks in the wheels of a great man, James O'Keefe. And I don't care about the results of these investigations. The simple fact that you write to your donor base and members to talk about these allegations, which haven't been even demonstrated yet, and which may amount to not even crimes or not even unethical things, but okay, maybe technically you didn't respect the rules of whatever your bylaws are. Well, at this point, it doesn't matter. If back then you would have intervened and say, no, this guy is not fired because the bylaws don't allow you to do this, then that's the proper response. But the proper response is not to launch a campaign against your own guy, hold him into a position where he can't even respond or be present and has lost all his powers within the organization. That is way too much. So fuck Project Veritas. I hope that their Twitter account gets to 0 followers. Nothing like the sun, says Jeff. How many ETOTs would I get if I successfully regulated Go Away? I don't have any ETOTs at my disposal. I don't know where it is that you guys got this. Some random bloke says, I love Project Veritas, but what does it actually achieve? It seems James bust these awful companies. They fire the people who got caught on camera, and then they carry on with what they were doing before. No, I mean, there is a problem where just covering these things, corporations are fully willing and prepared to handle these crises. And the way Pfizer handled it, there won't be major impact for them going forward. But there is still a use in that. For example, we wouldn't have the Pfizer admission if it wasn't of the Project Veritas work. So there's something accomplished by Project Veritas, no doubt. But yeah, it doesn't save the world, and most of the time, it doesn't change the world at all. John Garas says, JF is hoarding ETOT. I don't have any ETOTs. Well, that's exactly what a ETOTs order would say, isn't it? Pablo Rodriguez was talking about the new law in Canada, which hasn't even began yet. But it seems that Google is preemptively blocking news content for some Canadians in response to government bill. So the idea of this bill is to reproduce what was attempted in Australia. The whole idea that if Google serves you a search engine link to a official media, they have to pay the media for doing it. The idea being they are draining content from journalists, and so they have to pay for it. It's so ridiculous because Google will simply not want to put forward results from journalists. So it's like Google has been more than collaborative in helping the elite journalists to be favored in the search result. So much so that at this point, I can't compete on YouTube. I can't compete on Google search. I'm never going to be featured as an independent news channel in any of these places. So it's like you already got your W there. You want to be paid on top of it? Like, at some point, Google is going to recommend Papa JF. Like, if you say, well, recommending anyone else than Papa JF is going to cost you $1 million, $10 million per year. At some point, Google is going to say, hey, let's go back to Papa JF News. It's a great news show, isn't it? And so it's, the link tax. Micronova says, yeah, it's stupid, the link tax. What will happen is companies will use links from regular people who cannot file to get money from media. Exactly. So, I mean, let it happen. As far as I'm concerned, I want to laugh my ass off at the failure of this law. But it's ridiculous. It's fully not understanding the set of incentives on the web. The web is the economy of attention. The media is on their knees. They want attention. They want clicks. And it's getting hard for them. And, you know, New York Times wanted to sell me a subscription. They were down to, from $20 a month, they were down to, hey, $2. $2 a month. And we're going to give you, if you subscribe now at $2 a month, we're going to leave it at $2 for the next 2 years. This is 10 times less than the money you expected to be making at the beginning. And even at $2, I said, S. I spit on you, New York Times. Crazy Catman says, JF, the tax is not for the link. It's for when Google presents and formats the data at the link on their own search page rather than a couple of lines of context and the link. Yeah, and the limit of where the law will go, I don't fully understand. But what I know is that Google has responded by just blocking news content. So they're like, all right, we're just not going to show those items at all. And so whoever is the category of people or media that doesn't benefit from this link tax is going to be favored by Google going forward. Anyways, for now, they have attempted on like 4% of Canadian users. But eventually, I think they want to extend this to everyone in Canada. Alec Baldwin pleads not guilty to all charges in the Rust case. So that is a news from today. How the U.S. and Russian nuclear arsenals have evolved. Over 75 years have passed since the atomic bombing of Hiroshima. In terms of numbers of nuclear warhead, I think it's going down a lot because of the whole race to disarmament. But I think also that the warheads we do have are more efficient than they used to be. So I think they are much more destructive, even if we have less. So in red here, you see USSR/Russia. And in blue, you see the United States. I think we may be at a point where the United States is not particularly dominant. Particularly dominant, at least in terms of nuclear arsenal. I'm sure they have a little more technology, a little more intelligence, a little more satellite, you know, type of services. But Russia is there, and it is a strong competitor. And they have a massive number of nuclear warheads too. Micronova sends $5. Thank you so much. He says, New York Times needs to use a tiered model that interacts with customers on streams like your show. Put those interns and writers to work. The reason New York Times can't do what you do is the New York Times is in the business of propaganda, not finding the truth. Yeah, it's what we are finding more and more as we are in fully entering, you know, the age of independent creation. Holy shit, you know, the system of media was so controlled. You can see it now that you have the contrast that they're not interested at the bottom of truth. They are interested in angles of coverage that will advantage them over their enemies and that will advantage their politics over the politics of their enemies. It's so dirty. Just the contrast between what independent media have come to produce and this kind of trap that you see at The Guardian, where they go after a bunch of accounts and they're basically on a mission to ban these accounts from Twitter. So disgusting. This is an interesting story. You know the guy who was part of Biden's administration and he was caught recently stealing luggage at an airport. Apparently, he just has a mental issue with just stealing stuff, so much so that even if he's successful in life, he's getting paid by Biden. He couldn't help it, but he stole the luggage. And there is this woman who is a Tanzanian fashion designer based in Houston, Texas, who says she lost her bag in 2018 in the DC airport. And she recently heard about him and did some research on him. And she found photos of her dress on him. So she believes that she has been the victim of theft at the DC airport by this guy. So there would be other events of this guy stealing at airports. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what we discover with the internet, with the availability of information. We get to see, holy shit, this guy could have went on and steal luggage forever. Thank God we caught him. Mikael Asman says, what is the biological foundation for fascination with professional sports like football? Well, I think that there is a good justification to be fascinated at the idea of measuring talent. And games are a perfect setup to measure talents. So I think that in a tribal human world, there were probably a lot of demonstrations of strength, of competition, and of games. It will allow to know, do my children, can they compete against the children of the neighbor? Can they compete against the children of the other village? And that allows a setup for competition to happen in an organized fashion, where the goal is selection, basically. What happens in a game is we see selection at play, and we know that it's not selection that will lead to your death. So it's like getting the information from selection without risking your life, actually. Or at least if the risks exist, they are minimal compared to an actual fight. So that's the first reason. And then, of course, invested in the victory of either side. If games are truly about testing your tribe, testing your children, testing whoever plays, if games are truly about testing, then the outcome of the game is the victory of the social status of I'm the best. I'm the best, and therefore all the cheerleaders and the woman in the crowd should fuck me. And so then it becomes, holy shit, I want my child to win because I want my child to be the best. I want my tribe to be the best. I want my genes to be the best because I know that there is a direct outcome in terms of getting more quality females for it. So you have here the whole setup from how does it make sense evolutionarily? Well, it's about demonstrating quality to females of a group or of a kin. And it's about making these demonstrations of quality public so that they are known to everyone and everyone can remember, haha, you lost that game, didn't you? And, oh, you won that game. You did. And so, yes, you have the test here. Just the next best thing is actual war, where there's an actual test of other parameters like viciousness and willing to be creative outside of the rules. But as far as a virtual war, sports is the closest you can get to in terms of fully testing your talents about it and demonstrating it to a crowd. Parents increasingly moving back with their kids. What is going on? Pew discusses that the number of Americans who live in multi-generational family households is about 4 times larger than it was in the 1970s, going up towards 17%, where in the 70s it was at best around, for the yellow bars, number living in multi-generational households. Okay, it was around 12 million. Which was corresponding to 4% here, 4% of the population, and we're now at 17%. Okay, it's not something that is part of my culture. I think if you need to do it to survive, it makes sense. But if you can afford having a nuclear family and not needing so much grandparental services that you absolutely need the grandparent to be around the children. I personally believe that a man and a woman and their children is the best way to live. What do we have as other news before we close the show? Because I do need to get prepared for the debate of tonight. Oh yeah, this story, I've always been moved and expecting of the Madeleine McCain story, you know, this little girl who was at some kind of summer camp with her parents or some kind of summer vacation types of homes, and she just disappeared. She disappeared out of nowhere. And back in the Pizzagate days, you know, there was all sorts of conspiracy theories around Madeleine McCain, and can we find her again? Where is she? And they were suspecting it went during the WikiLeaks release. It went to the theory that maybe it's John Podesta who kidnapped Madeleine McCain. It was that deep, but we've never had you know, serious traces of where she is, what happened to her. Some people suspect her own parents to have killed her, or hidden her somewhere, or sold her on the market. In any case, I think it's a moving story, and I would like this story to be resolved and the truth to be found about this girl. And apparently there is now a Polish woman who claims to be Madeleine McCain. The Polish woman has contacted the parents of Madeleine McCain and said, "I am Madeleine McCain." She started an Instagram to describe her life and talk about all this and try to get a DNA test, because she says she doesn't have much memories of her childhood, but she remembers a place where there were white houses, and she remembers what she believes is the place where she got disconnected from her parents in this Praia da Luz, a resort in the Portugal Algarve region. I saw her Instagram, and she provides supporting evidence. For example, there is a photo of Madeleine McCain with a little kind of imperfect part of the iris of her eye. And if the photo is real, if she didn't modify this through Photoshop, I have to say it's quite interesting. She appears to have the exact same eye defect as Madeleine McCain. It's a spot that is more dark on the iris. And can this happen by random? I'm sure. But interesting fact to begin with. Now, thankfully, the parents have accepted, and she has accepted, to have a DNA test. So we're going to have, perhaps, the finding of Madeleine McCain as an adult woman in Poland at this point, who has now started an Instagram on the quest of trying to find the truth about herself. I can't wait to see the results of those DNA tests. I hope it is done properly and cleanly, and I hope that we have the collaboration of everyone to get there. Saturn Shine says, "What is the monthly private hangout?" It's a hangout. It just happened 2 days ago, I believe. 3 days ago. It happened on Monday. It's a hangout that I do with the $20 level donors. And some of them just watch us, but some of them join us if you want to join us. It's every month on Discord. And you can join the discussion and ask me anything. Very often we have really just the hardcore supporters like Fadam, James showing up. But if you want to come, I mean, these guys really like exploring some in-depth theme. Fadam is always on biology, the revolutionary phenotype. James loves to talk about nihilism and religion and beliefs. So, yes, you can join us and bring whatever subject you want. Shishi Ping says, "Eric Weinstein, on the most recent Joe Rogan episode, complained about Ye and Nick Fuentes." Yeah, people have sent me link to it. I haven't watched it yet. Perhaps I will watch it, but I can guess. I can guess that this is a positioning of maintenance of the media oligarchy of the U.S. And that is so disappointing. Although people have told me that in this podcast, Eric Weinstein says he will debate anyone. Well, Eric, I'll debate you. I'll debate you on various subjects. Since you are willing to debate anyone, I will debate you on the revolutionary phenotype, my theory of biology. I'll debate you on subjects of mediatic control and desirable future for the media. I'll debate you on the idea that the truths about race should be hidden, which is what I believe Eric believes, or whether we should talk about it openly and frankly in the media. I'll debate you on any of these subjects or a subject of your choosing. Stephen Robinson says, "Hey, Jeff, will you tell me which business name you prefer for a new chimney sweep business? One, Alpine Chimney. Two, Alpine Sweep. Three, Ainsworth's Chimney. Four, Ash Hole's Chimney." Ash Hole is weird. I would say two, Alpine Sweep sounds like the best. But Alpine Sweep. But I don't think you have that much of an interest at using the Alpine thing. I think you should focus on bringing in words like cleaning. Because sweep, do people necessarily know that sweep is about chimneys? And it's kind of a specialized word. I would, if I want to extend to a broader potential customer base, I would want to take people who don't even have the idea that it's the word sweep. So perhaps just clean chimneys, something like this, or you know, something more simple. Because Alpine, well, does it really matter that you live in your fucking mountain? I mean, if they see your name and you're available in the area, then they won't care about you being labeled as Alpine. And there's really no specialty that you play with as a chimney sweeper that changes because you're in the mountains, right? It's the same sweeping technique. So I'm not sure you need Alpine there, although Alpine gives a beautiful local taste to your name. That's fine. But I think you could be a little more pedagogical here. Clean chimneys, clean sweep, or just, you know, I always think fundamental. Let's distill it. What could be the shortest name that says what you do? Is there even a shorter name than chimney? I don't know. Is there a synonym out there? I have no idea. Stephen Robinson says, I just want to have a business name that starts with the letter A for the Google algorithm. That's a good idea. Not necessarily for the Google algorithm. I don't think it matters that much. But a lot of the local guides and the local, you know, yellow pages, that kind of stuff, perhaps you'd get an advantage there. So that's fine. I hadn't thought about it. But it's potentially necessary and good. T.S. Apostolos says, Jeff, in that clip, Eric Weinstein mentions the side of Twitter that Brett is scared of also. Yeah, so that's why I have to watch the episode. It's because I'm wondering to what extent this aligns with Brett's refusal to engage on my second video. We'll see. We'll see. So I'm cutting the show now because I need to prepare. In 1 hour from now, I'll be on the Crucible channel to debate race realism. We'll see where this debate is headed. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you all in 1 hour from now. Thank you.